Produced by women about women, Powerful Women Let's Talk is a series of interviews with women who are trailblazers and have helped shape our world, transforming who we are and how we live.
Imagine a job change during a pandemic, shifting from a small nonprofit to academia. Plus, don't forget about practicing the art of momming. Does Joanne Rome do it all? We discuss her life journey thus far today, of course, leading WMU in Grand Rapids on this edition of Powerful Women Let's Talk. Hello to you, Joanne.
Hi.
Yes, there's momming, there's a husband in there somewhere, there's the dog and the cat. Let's
right.
not forget
but
that.
But let's be clear, I don't do it all.
Okay.
None of us do.
That was on my list. How do you do it all? We'll get to that. So, a nice formal presentation. You do have a new, fairly important job. Tell me about it. What's happening in your life now?
Yeah, so back in June, I took on the role of director of Western Michigan University in Grand Rapids. So we have a campus over on Ionia, and I'm responsible for bringing a little bit of main campus here to Grand Rapids. I'm the regional representative for Western, running all of our building and program offerings here in Grand Rapids, but really creating and building on relationships with our community and making sure that Western and our faculty are out engaging with the Grand Rapids community in any way that we can be.
There is a personal side to this. What, three times the charm when it comes to you and your Bronco relationship?
I'm going for that trifecta of degrees, yes. So I currently, my undergrad and my master's are both from Western.
And how much does that affect where that takes you professionally? You must have an allegiance, which is a positive thing.
Most certainly. I mean, I hold the institution near and dear because I've spent so much time at Western. And when I was looking to make a change, having a level of familiarity, especially after being with my prior organization for so long, made that change a little easier. It felt more accessible to make that big change in my life because I had that familiarity with Western and it was something I was already passionate about.
So how do you go from a job where laughing is important at Gilda's Club, a former role you played, to, academia during a pandemic? What were some key steps here?
Well, believe it or not, laughing is important in academia, too. We can't take ourselves too seriously. I had been with Gilda's Club for, almost 12 years, and it had been time for me to take the next step in my professional career. And so, navigating the pandemic and all that happened with that, I certainly didn't plan on making a change during a pandemic, but I had planned on making a change and exploring that next chapter. And I had the luxury of time and kind of seeing what was out there. I'd always had an interest in higher ed. I'm a bit of a school nerd. I like that environment. So when this opportunity presented itself, it felt like a good fit on a few different levels.
So take me back. The planning as a young Joanne, did you plan to have a career and an opportunity to be a mom, a wife, and an animal owner?
Yeah. I mean, I think I had loose plans to not do it all, but kind of do it all if I could, do whatever I could. I don't know that I had a clear path of what I wanted to be when I grew up. I can't, pinpoint any specific career I wanted to head into, but I can't deny that I liked being the one calling the shots growing up, even with friends and my poor brother. I was the one with the plan, and I liked that for sure.
Were you firstborn?
Yes.
Well, there we go. That's a whole another conversation. Let's talk about, in general, taking a risk, which you might have taken a risk with what you just did, and obviously it's working.
It certainly felt like a risk again because I was really comfy with where I was at. I mean, I loved Gilda's Club. I still love Gilda's Club and always will. But it had become, I had gotten to a point where I'd sort of done everything that I could there. In a small organization, there's not a ton of opportunity to kind of move up the ranks. And I believe, too, it's really important that not only we continue to challenge ourselves, but that we create sustainability within organizations as leaders, by proactively making those changes. Someone else needed to kind of take the helm of LaughFest. Mm-hmm. I'd done what I think was some really good work there, and I knew that it was time to move on. But just because I knew didn't make it easy. It did feel very risky, and I spent a lot of times walking circles around Reed's Lake with friends, having discussions about what could be next for me and what if it wasn't a perfect fit. And some really advice I got during that time was, doesn't have to be perfect. Mm. The first step is just making a change, yes. taking that risk, and you can adjust from there.
Let me talk to you about reaching out and having friends to talk to. How important is that as we get older or maybe even younger? It's important to find a support system.
Well, I think for those of us that can have the privilege of saying what we learned from the pandemic, relationships matter. And maybe we knew that before, but I think we really know that now. And who you choose to spend your time with and what you take away from those relationships is really important. I'm not the kind of person that has a wide circle of friends. Certainly no, like I have a lot of good relationships, know a lot of people, but my inner circle is pretty small. And having people who can give you truthful feedback, even if it's not what you want to hear, is really important. And so as I, you know, was on this process of searching for what my next professional step would be, having those people to kind of guide me and counsel me was really important. And having mentors as well, having other women leaders in our community that I had meaningful, trusting relationships with who could help say things to me like, you just got to make a change. It doesn't have to be perfect. Was critical in getting me to that next step. But it really was the pandemic, I think, that gave me that extra little push to make that change.
How did you develop and what are your leadership traits?
Whew. That's a tough and broad question. But I believe as leaders, our responsibility is to surround ourselves with a team that complements us. So I like to lead collaboratively. I have no interest in being the only one that makes decisions or is part of a conversation. So collaboration is a big core tenet for me as it relates to leadership. Assuming the best, which can sometimes be difficult as a leader, looking around you and recognizing that we're all doing the best that we can, and that may look different on any given day. I try really hard to see the best in those around me and lead from that perspective as well. And I also believe in leading and learning. None of us are perfect. None of us know everything there is to know. And creating a culture of learning is super important to me as a leader.
Tell me more about, well, reaching for a PhD with the many other hats you're wearing. How does that work?
That's always been on my bucket list. I mean, I have always wanted to teach college. I don't need my PhD to be an adjunct faculty member, but I've always liked the idea of being a doctor. And so in my move to Western professionally, it was a natural opportunity for me to then start pursuing that degree. I thought I was going to wait a little while and then sort of add it in later, and an opportunity presented itself to get going on that pretty quickly. So here I am in my closing in on my first year of my doctorate, and I'm hoping to get that done in about 3 years. We'll see how it goes.
You're a goal achiever. You are also involved in your community and understand the importance of wellness. Tell me about your relationship with Girls on the Run.
Yeah, an organization that I've been involved with for a long time. First as a coach, had the opportunity to coach in the Northview School District for many seasons, and just loved being able to be alongside girls at that age. By the time we move into true middle and high school years, a lot is set about how we view ourselves, how we respond to other people. So being able to spend time with girls at such a young age that's a really formative time for them. And it was a really fun way to kind of give back and literally run or walk or skip or jump alongside them in their journey. And from that, my husband and I have sat on the committee for the Celebration 5K for a number of years. In fact, I had my son on Celebration 5K morning in 2017, did not make it to the race that day.
Good excuse.
But was planning on it, thank you. But we, you know, so we have a lot to celebrate when that weekend comes around each year. And then I was a board member for a number of years and served as board president and was able to help the organization navigate its transition between two wonderful leaders in Lori Burgess, the outgoing executive director, and Lisa coming in. And that was a really wonderful experience as well at another very formative time for the organization.
Sweet. All right, more fun facts. What, you moved to the United States from England?
Yeah, when I was in eighth grade, my parents let me know that we were moving to another country, which as an eighth grade girl, ooh-wee. I did not make it easy for them in that transition, but my dad got a great professional opportunity, and so we came here tail end of my eighth grade year, and so I am a British citizen. I'm not a U.S. citizen.
Ah, yes. Mm-hmm. So did you speak? I mean, yeah.
English.
Okay. Yes, you spoke English, but... Well,
but I think what was really interesting is I dropped the accent really fast. I mean, I was super insecure in eighth grade, as we tend to be at that time in our lives. I have a theater background. My whole family has a theater background. And so it was very easy for me to just kind of lose that accent pretty quickly there.
Yes.
Don't know that I'm super proud of that, but that's the way that it was.
Very interesting. What about this American Idol audition here, my friend?
Yeah, so shortly after college, my undergrad is in music, and I had this idea. It was American Idol was peak craze at that time, and a girlfriend and I flew to Minneapolis to the auditions at the Target Center, and tens and thousands of people auditioning. I mean, it was a wild experience. Obviously, I didn't make it on the show, but it was really fun, and fun thing to say that you did.
Yes, but with your resume at present and a music degree, tell me more here.
Well, I'm a generalist through and through. I learned that at some point relatively recently, maybe within the last 10 years, I've embraced that. I kind of felt like I was a jack of all trades, master of none for a long time, and have sort of flipped that narrative around. I like to dabble in a lot of things. I do best when I've got a lot of irons in the fire. I like to touch a lot of different things. I don't necessarily want to be in the detail of everything. I'm the one that likes to come in, make the plan, make the broad strategy, and then move out of the way. And so all of these different things that I've done, both in my education and my career, and, you know, at Gilda's Club and Laugh Us, that was another example of that. I've had the opportunity to dabble in a lot of different things and project manage a lot of different types of things. And that's a skill set that I'm really well suited to.
So you can sing us a song. There we go. It's not on the list. You're raising a son. How will you raise him to advocate for women?
I think a lot of what we do at home is modeling in our family what equal relationships look like between men and women. We try very hard to ungender things in our home. We are 50-50 parents and partners in all the things. So, you know, in raising my son, he sees my husband, the chef, and mom pulling some late nights at work, and vice versa, depending on the week. And I think it's really important that we model what we want to see in people to our kiddos. And when I first got involved with Girls on the Run, I didn't have Adam, but as I became pregnant with him and then had a son, Girls on the Run sort of became more important to me, because I want my son to see what we're doing to raise strong, empowered girls and women, and that he knows that we need to respect all people, all kinds, all the time, and that's really important. So I don't claim to be an expert in raising sons by any stretch, but I think the best we can do is model who, you know, the behavior that we want to see, and have conversations even if they're difficult.
And what is left on that bucket list?
That's a great question.
You checked off a couple things already.
Well, you know, working in higher ed has certainly been one of those, and I'm so early in the journey of that. I mentioned I would like to teach, and I'm working on that PhD, but it's such an interesting time to be in higher ed right now. So many changes happening that I'm excited to see where that journey takes me. I have always wanted to be an executive director of a nonprofit organization. That's certainly something that could still happen. But I've also tried to soften up that bucket list in some way, and the planning side of me relax a little bit and just be open to whatever that next step might be professionally, personally, and otherwise. I look forward to maybe getting some more sleep as my child continues to age. There Can we put go. That on my bucket list?
Yeah, get your 8 hours and then you'll be able to do it all. That's the secret.
We'll see.
Any good books you're reading?
You know, I don't get to read as much as I used to, but I always come back to Quiet by Susan Cain. Mm-hmm. It really helped me better understand myself and my personality. I always sort of pegged myself as an extrovert, but I found myself as I got older not feeling quite as extroverted as I used mm-hmm. to. And I actually am one of those people who I can do it. I can be out there doing the things, talking to the people, but I need that downtime. I'm sort of that high-functioning introvert, I think is how it was described. And the book just really made a lot of sense to me and helped me in another way decipher who I think that I am and what I need.
All right. We'll give you some time, get you back, and call you Professor Rome. How is that?
Love it.
Congratulations on your success because you are doing it all. Thank you for talking to us on this edition of Powerful Women. Let's talk, Joanne.
Thank you for having me.
Produced by women, about women. These powerful podcasts focus on powerful women and how their strength transforms who we are and how we live. Want to hear more Powerful Women Let's Talk? Get additional interviews at WGVU.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Please rate and subscribe. Powerful Women Let's Talk is produced by WGVU at the Meyer Public Broadcast Center at Grand Valley State University. The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of WGVU, its underwriters, or Grand Valley State University.